We're Tehillim, the 13th chapter, Perek Yud Gimel. Lam Natzeach, to the conductor, to those that sing, that each one tries to overcome the other. And song, Mizmor LeDavid, a song compiled by David. A praise to God compiled by David. And we will read and translate, and then we will analyze. This is one of the shorter chapters of Tehillim. And on a personal note, this is one of the chapters that I feel a stronger connection with. Ad Ana Hashem. Till when, King David calls out, Tishkacheni, will you forget me? Netzach. Seems like eternity that you've forgotten me, King David says. Ad Ana, till when? Tastiret panecha mimeni, will you hide your face from me? Remember our class on Sunday. Remember what King David is going through. He's running. He's being chased by his father-in-law. He's being chased by his people. He has to run off into Philistine territory. Over there he's almost killed. He comes back to Jewish territory, and the Jews are all telling King Saul where he's hiding. And he says, God, till when will you forget me? Till when will you hide your face from me? Yeah.
Does King David compile all of the Tehillim at once, or is it like throughout his life? Or how do we know when which ones are written?
Oh. So we don't know exactly when each one is written. Some of them he tells us when, but some of them we have a tradition when they were compiled, and most we don't know when they were written. And not all of Tehillim was written by David. It was compiled by David. It was really organized by Chizkiyo, the king. He compiled it, and then it was really brought to writing by the king Chizkiyo. But exactly when each one was compiled, I don't think we have an exact tradition. There are different midrashim about different ones, but in general, unless he tells us, we don't know unless we have a tradition. Yeah, Ari. I'm with you.
Two questions. One, how come it says he finished them at the end of the third chapter?
Didn't follow you?
It says, like, Kalut HaTzilim.
Tfilot David Menishai.
Right.
When we get there, we'll deal with that.
Yeah. The question is, I thought he didn't always.
Said he didn't like being referred to as anonymous, as Ben Yishai, son of Yishai.
Ben Yishai.
Yeah, want something?
Sure.
Right. No problem. Swallow. Okay.
We see one. There were a few composers of the
Tehillim.
Ten composers. Okay. There one that perplexed me. Why? If you could explain, the sons of Korach.
Let's deal with that when we get there. We'll get there soon.
All right.
So remind me, or later on tonight. Right. That's just not pertinent to this. So let's not deal with it now. Ad ana ashit eitzot l'nafshi. Till when? The third time David HaMelech asks, Ad ana, till when? Will I place different plans within my heart? Yagon bilvavi yomam. There is pain, there is affliction within my heart by day. Ad ana, till when? Yarum oyevi alai. Will my enemy arise above me? Habita aneni Hashem Elokai. Look, answer me, Hashem my God. Ha'ira einai, give light to my eyes, my eye. Penishan amavet, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Pen yomaro yevi chaltiv, lest my enemy says, I have overcome him, I have been able to overtake him. Tsarai yagilu ki emot, my enemies, lest they rejoice at my downfall, at my collapse. Vani, and I, b'chastecha batachti, I have faith in your eternal kindness. Yageli bi bishuatecha, my heart will rejoice when you do ultimately give me salvation. Ashir al Hashem, I will sing to Hashem, ki gamal alai, for he has done good things to me. Or gamal could also mean he has taken me on as his waist, just like a mother holds her child as she nurses him.
Is also a detox center. Detox.
Oh, gemila. We say that ligmol also is to get a child to stop nursing. To wean a child is also called ligmol. A Avraham made a party. Biyom he gamel et Yitzchak, when Yitzchak was weaned. So the gamel could also mean that the person, in the personal sense, took on his own weight. He is nigmal. He took on his own weight. You could be gomel someone else. You could, like, your gomel chesed. You do kindness to someone, so to speak, you're taking their weight. And when a person himself takes his own weight, he gets weaned. So now he's carrying his own weight, so to speak. Then he is nigmal. When a person, in this case, when a person, what you're referring to, when a person stops being addicted to something, so then he's back to having control of himself, carrying his own weight. That's also called the modern Hebrew nigmal. So now let's review the chapter and add in what our sages say. Our sages say that David HaMelech said this chapter with reference to the Jewish people. And he foresaw the four nations that would overtake the Jewish people. And when he saw that, he turned to God and he said, "Till when will you forget them?" And that refers to the first galut, the first nation that overtook us, Babel. When the prophet refers to our galus in Babel, the prophet says, "Lama lanetzach tishkacheinu." That's how we end Eicha. When the Jewish people could be chased out of their land, the temple could be destroyed, the Jewish people felt like they were forgotten. So the first exile, the first king, the first kingdom that overtook us, the Babylonian kingdom, is often referred to as the time that God, so to speak, forgot us, that we felt like God forgot us. And so in reference to that kingdom, David HaMelech says, "Ad ana, till when, Hashem, tishkacheini netzach, will you forget me for eternity? Ad ana, till when, tastir et panecha mimeni, will you hide your face from me?" Which kingdom is this? That's the second kingdom, that's the Persian and Medes. That's the story of Esther. Esther means hidden. That's the time when we say God fulfilled his prophecy, "V'anochi hastir astir panai mehem," I will hide in a double fashion my face from them. That's the time we were overtaken by the Persians and Medes. And then what?
Sorry, how was it a double fashion?
When a person hides his face, so you could have someone hiding and you feel like he's there, but he's hiding. You could have a situation where a person's hiding and you don't even feel like he's hiding. Meaning, let's say you walk into this classroom and you know that the camera's up there recording what you're doing. And you don't know if someone's sitting and looking at that camera. So that's one level. That's one level of behavior. There's another level that you walk into a room and you feel fairly confident no one's looking. You don't know there's a camera. And there really is someone looking. That's more hidden. And during the period of the Persian and Mede Empire, during that period, there was a decree to wipe out the Jewish people, written by Haman, signed by Haman in the name of Ahasuerus. And during that period, it seemed like God wasn't even hiding, because it seemed like our extinction was imminent, and God wasn't intervening. And here the princess was inviting Haman to a tea party just after this decree came out. So the people thought, wait a second, she should be on our side. And what's she doing? She's caring only for herself. She's trying to make nice to the king. Everything seemed to be stacked against us. Everything was sealed and signed. The letters were out. Everyone was getting ready. And there was one kingdom under whose empire the whole Jewish people were. And that was a tremendous threat. That we are all under one empire, and that empire decides to destroy us. That was the danger of the Tower of Babel. And God said, "I can't have everyone unified." Why not? Because when they're all unified, and the king is Nimrod, and they decide to kill out my one representative in this world, so that's a danger to God's representation in the world. So God says, "I can't have that." So that's what happened again during the period of the Persian and Mede Empire. That the Jewish people were under one king. The decree to wipe them out was sealed and signed. And now nothing seemed to be happening that was in our favor. So that's a double hidden. So David HaMelech says in reference to that period, "Till when, God, will you hide your face from me? Ad ana, until when, ashit etzot menachshi, will I have to think thoughts in affliction?" This is referring to the empire with which we had to contend during the period of Hanukkah. The Greeks didn't want to kill us. The Greeks wanted us to convert to their religion. They wanted us to stop believing in monotheism. The Greeks wanted us to serve idols, to value the human body as it is, to stop doing these circumcisions. The Greeks weren't out to kill us. The Greeks were out to convert us. This was a war of philosophies. And that's why Hanukkah is different than Purim. Purim, they wanted to kill us. That's one level. Hanukkah is worse. When a person tries to cause someone else to sin, that's worse than a person who tries to kill him. Because if you kill a person, so he's dead in this world, but he still has a portion in the world to come. If you convince a person of a mistaken philosophy, you've ruined everything. So what's his life worth? You've killed him here and in the world to come. So with reference to that, David HaMelech says, till when will I have to keep thinking thoughts? The Jewish people had to figure out, how am I going to answer the Greeks? They're forcing us to have debates. They're forcing us to stop serving Hashem. How will we counter the mityavnim, the Jews who have joined the Greeks from within, who are trying to convince us to leave the faith? You want something? Max?
Oh, me.
Yeah, I thought you raised your hand a second ago. No?
No.
Okay, fine. And then David HaMelech says, till when will my enemy overcome me? That's referring to the last galus. Every other galus had an end mark. God foretold us it would be, and foretold us it would pass, and it passed relatively quickly in relation to history. It might have taken 100 years, but it passed. This kingdom that we're under, Edom and Yishmael, it seems like they've won. We're around, but up until 50 years ago, no one was convinced that we'd be around much longer. Historians marveled at this historical phenomenon called the Jews. Why are they still around? So throughout the period that we were being oppressed, and even today, it seemed like the nations, they were on top. Edom, Yishmael, they had overtaken us. And in reference to that, David HaMelech says, till when will my enemy overcome me? The Medrash says that when Yaakov Avinu was lying down and he looked at that ladder, he had the prophetic dream of angels going up the ladder and down the ladder. When he saw the angel representing Esav, he saw that angel go up and up and up and not come down. And Yaakov said, God, is he going to make it? Is he just going to stay on top? That's this. That's David HaMelech saying, till when, God, will my enemy overcome me? Look, God, answer me. Give light to my eyes, lest I sleep of death. Lest my enemy says I have overcome him, and my enemies rejoice when I collapse. And I have faith. That's one of the messages of our parsha. That when everything looks bad, Yaakov Avinu sees Esau's coming with 400 men and he doesn't seem to have a chance. He makes it out from Lavan, he's got to face up to Esau. He makes it out of Esau, he's got to face the people of Shechem. The people of Shechem are wiped out, he's got to face all the nations of the world. He finally finishes with the nations of the world, and next week we're going to see how his life continues to be eventful, continues to be mournful and difficult, and he doesn't give up. And that's David HaMelech here. Even though it seems like my enemies are overcoming me, I have faith in you, Hashem. I have faith in your kindness, and my heart will rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to Hashem, for he is the one that has taken me. Any questions? Yeah.
Why is it, this just a curtain, why is it that we don't refer to the exile of the 10 tribes in northern Israel as the first exile? Why is it
We do refer to the exile of the 10 tribes as the first exile. We view the exile, the Babylonian exile, as a procession that took many years. And that's why the prophet says, "Ba'et harishon hikal, alta zvulun ve'alta naftali." First, God, so to speak, lightened the load in Israel. He took two tribes were exiled, another two tribes were exiled, until finally the 10 tribes, and then finally ultimately all of them. Even though you are right, many years passed between the exile of the 10 tribes and the tribe of Judah, and the 10 tribes were exiled by the Assyrian kingdom, and Yehuda's exiled by the Babylonian kingdom, but still it seems like we couple them together.
Well, they were continuations, Assyria and Babylon.
The Babylonian empire took over the Assyrian empire, but still it is two empires. Now what I'm telling you is an answer that I don't like. It's the best answer I could give you, but I think it deserves a better answer, and I don't know a better answer.
It seems, in my mind, it seems to me like two
different. I agree with you. I gave you the best answer I could give you, but I think the question is better than the answer, and God willing, one of us will encounter it, and we'll share it with the other. Yeah?
Right now we're in the third exile, yes?
Fourth exile.
Fourth exile.
Fourth kingdom.
Fourth
Not fourth exile, fourth king.
How do we know that if we, like, so we know for sure that when Mashiach comes, we're not going to screw up again or mess up again?
It's a good question. That deserves a class in and unto itself. But that question, if it's not answered at the end of our Rambam class, our Friday class, about what's going to be in the future, so then remind me and we'll deal with it. No, not
tonight. Do you guys have a Rambam class?
Friday morning.